everybody. Welcome to Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. My name is Jay.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Fried Dagon. I said I wasn't going to go there because it was in the, but it was my first initial thought when I saw it. I go, huh. Okay.
I
didn't write the name.
The Dickon, funny. He had two choices, and he went with the dumb one. It's like, what?
Couldn't Dad have just said, I'm going to bend the knee? It's not like it was Sam he was trying to.
His dad was saying, go ahead, bend the knee, son.
He did. I know, he nodded at him.
But the dad could have said, you know, I'll bend the knee. It's almost like he had Sam next to him. All right, yeah, Sam, you can come over here.
Let me hold your hand. We'll go through this together.
I won't hold. You know, Sammy would have said, I'm not holding your hand. Be a man. Suck it up.
Oh, man. A lot to talk about.
But old Dick on.
A lot to talk about for this episode. I feel like I'm going to have a lot of nitpicks this week. Nitpick Nicks this week. Nick claims he only has one Nick.
Well, we talked for an hour before this podcast. My computer's almost dead.
An hour and a half.
Yeah, it was an hour and a half. But so we are warmed up and primed.
And nothing. It had nothing to do with Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
But everything to do with Game of Thrones. All right. So before we get into jumping into this episode, Eastwatch, which can we say biggest misdirect of the show so far?
It was. Yeah. It was like we saw Eastwatch for what? 2 minutes, if that.
I don't know.
Want to thank the people that make this show possible. Our patrons over at patreon.com/JNJack. All of our podcasts are listener supported. So thank you to all of our listeners that support us out there. And if you'd like to become one of those listeners that supports all of the podcasts that we create, head on over to JNJack.com. Click on the Become a Patron link today. All right.
Wait, before we go on, can I thank someone?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
No. The good people at A Song, Ice, and Fire, a Game of Thrones Facebook page, allowed us to post our last episode on their Facebook page. It was Chris Dalby I actually talked to. So I want to thank them for allowing us to do that because they don't have to, and we appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe
Jay didn't share it. But
yeah, I was going to say, did they see your like epic tweets? And there's like, we have to let this guy post.
To get him to stop tweeting? Can he be saved?
Jack's famous tweets.
You know, I can see
good
it
job,
now.
Danny.
Instead of tweeting, bend a knee. No! then I'd be sitting there on the keypad, and the dragon would just burn me. I'm not bending a knee! Get move on with that! Can we just move on from the... Why does every episode have to be about bending the knee?
Because it's a drinking game. When she says bend the knee, take a drink.
I would be passed out.
All right, well...
I think they're setting up... I mean, I think they're setting up Danny, though, for... I don't think it's going to resonate, but I think they're trying to set her up as like a potential Mad King. Because if you look at that, like how she's been that way, very much bend the knee. I'm not listening to Tyrion. I'm giving you this option or this option, and that's it. Like, because she even said that, like, before she burned Dickon and Lord Tarly, it was, I know what Cersei's told you. I'm really nice, so either join me or die. And you're like, what? And so that's what I mean. Like, they're kind of.
And like I said, Tyrion's like, okay, you know, we could go a different route with this. Maybe, you know, kind of.
Well, let's save the deep dive on this or talk about it for the recap. So let's jump into the recap now. And let's start with the
an
most,
anti-climax.
Yeah. I'm laughing at the first line. First time I looked at it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like start with an anti-climax. I mean, because like we ended with potential Jamie sinking into an abyss to all of a sudden he can swim underwater for what, a good mile?
Yeah, like how, what? That's my first nitpick, Nick.
Well,
they probably
came up from air somewhere along the line.
It didn't look that way. Like, you just dragged me a good mile in full armor and a gold hand. Like, thanks, Bron.
Well, like, I did say on the Facebook page that Jamie's fake hand can be used as a flotation device.
But yeah, like
you think he'd lose the hand. I mean, if you're sinking like a rock, what's the heaviest thing?
There's so many improbable things. This was the first one.
But what are we happy that Jamie and Bronn are alive?
Oh, of course.
But could it? Shouldn't they just come straight back up? But I guess if they got straight back up, they get captured.
Yeah, that's a good thing. They're Aquaman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Somehow hold their breath for 10 years.
They had a lot of water in them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess we can presume. I guess you know if we have to suspend our disbelief, like we can just presume that they came up for air at certain points until they got to the beach. But still,
do we need to see that?
I guess it would have been nice. I get we don't have much time, and they're going at the speed of light. They're literally going at the speed of light.
If this had been season one, would have been 3 episodes of them coming up for air, going back down, going up for air. We're almost there. Coming up for air. By the 4th episode, we made it. We made it. Oh, I thought we were going to drown.
But they lived, and I would confirm it was Bronn that saved old Jamie. And Jamie is none too. He's kind of like, oh, we're going to lose. We're going to lose, guys.
Yeah. I did like Bronn, though, like kind of going, until I get what I'm owed, no one's killing you.
Well, he doesn't want to admit that they're friends.
Yeah.
I think they're friends.
I think they're same as he's friends with Tyrion. You know, it's just.
Right.
You know, there's a bond.
Bronn likes everyone except one actress.
Well, she wants to get her way with that later in this episode, but yeah, mm-hmm. We'll save that for them.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, though. Like, Jamie quickly realizes that they're pretty much doomed. You know, it's like that was only one dragon. What happens if she uses all three? I mean, it's just
we're toast.
Yeah, we're ash.
No drum roll. No rim shot.
We're toast. Oh, that was a joke. I'm sorry.
We're toast.
Didn't get that there.
Okay, but then it cuts to the next thing where Tyrion's. I kind of like this. I mean, no words were needed, but I like the conflict on Tyrion's face. You know, because he's walking. You know, he's in. I don't know if he's in awe of just the ash and the amount of the dye, or that he's conflicted in the fact that he's looking at Lannisters, you know, his family's coat of arms,
right.
Just so defeated. And I just liked it. It was really a really great shot.
Plus, he was also looking for his brother.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I thought, like you said, that, you know, you see burned out bodies behind the shields and stuff like that. It was a moving scene without, like I said, having to say anything.
Mm. And then the Lannister prisoners are brought before Dany with another great CGI shot of, you know, a huge Drogon above her. And she gives him the option, kneel or die. And a couple of them, you know, kneel right away. But then when Lord Tarly and Dickon appear.
You really emphasize that Dickon, don't you? Is it like, wait, Dickon!
Dickon!
So can we say Nick's name on the show from now on is Nickon?
Nickon?
Nickon. Nickon the Terrible.
That's right. But you know, it's because like Lord Tarly, you know, he is who he is. He's a prideful prick, and you know, you saw it with Sam, and you see it again here. It's like I already have a queen, you know, and then gets those last jabs in. They're just saying, you know, she's born here. She's who I'll be loyal to, and you know, talking to Tyrion, you know, you killed your own father, and now you're supporting a foreigner, you know, and that could have been it, you know, kill them, let it be done, but then. Dickon does something stupid.
I thought Dothraki was just going to cut his head off, but then they line him up. I said, "Well,
this is okay." This is where I, because we kind of talked about before we got into the recap, where I'm actually on Daenerys' side here, because I think she, you're going up against Cersei, who is this horrible person. She gave them options. She gave them choices, and they chose to. You know, not bend the knee and to choose death. Like, what is she going to, like, they were just the army that just took out one of her closest allies. So it's either you need to be on my side or you're going to die. Like, so I don't, they are playing the, is she going to be mad? But I don't think I'm actually with her. I think it was actually a really logical and made sense choice. And I think Tyrion's just being a little too soft in this instance.
Did she have to torch him?
What? That's a great way to, like, you saw everybody else bent the knee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it did work.
Because it wasn't like there was anything left of the Tarleys. I mean, they were just a lump of ash after that was like.
But they did suffer more than having their head chopped off.
I mean, honestly, being burnt like that, you're dead within seconds. Chopping your head off, you still live for like 14 minutes. Right? Wasn't they do the guillotine, their eyes are still moving around, you're still actually kind of conscious for a while?
Yeah, I don't know if it's 14 minutes. Probably like around 6, probably.
Yeah.
But because like basically the oxygen's cut from the head. And so as long as your brain still has oxygen, you're still kind of somewhat conscious.
All right, so she did the compassionate way.
Well,
dragon, buddy.
I mean, Tyrion did make a good point though of like letting him take the black and go to the wall because
he refused it.
Yeah, he refused it because I mean he had a point. You're like, you're not my queen, so you can't command me to do that. You know, once again showing his pride. But I mean, Tyrion, that was a good idea though because that is traditionally what happens to generals or people that are really of military value. They're sent to the wall to live out their lives and be of some service still, and then, you know, they get to keep their lives. But no, he chose to die.
Well, it was his choice. But I thought when Dickon came over, I thought he was going to say, "Okay, we'll kneel."
Yeah,
To save my son, but, you know.
Because, I mean, it made no sense, really. Because, I mean, he did. He said, shut up, you stupid boy. You know, because he did want to save his son. But then yeah, exactly what you're saying, Jack. You know, it would have made more sense. Because I think if you really loved your son, you'd say, you know, spare my son.
You swallow spare my son. I'll kneel, but you got to save my son.
I'm proud of you, Dickon. Yeah. Your stupid brother Sam totally would have kneeled.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he would have lived.
He'd been reading some stupid book. Anyway.
But, yeah, so Sam's the only one left of his house now. So Sam, well, even though he already took the black, so he can't
Did Sam and Dickon have a different mom? Or?
No, I mean, it's just known. I mean, yeah, granted, looking at the actors, you clearly, like, know that, like, oh, there's no way those two guys are related. But Sam always takes after his mom the same way Dickon takes after his dad. So that's what the thing means.
I'm not judging.
Mm-hmm. So I'm judging? Is that what it is?
Well, I'm not saying that. I was just asking a question. Yeah. I thought it might have been in the books.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious, though, like, because, like, Sam now, even though he took the black, he's not supposed to inherit anything. Sam is the only one left of his house. So you kind of wonder, like, oh, because he has the sword now that is, like, his inheritance. And it's like, I wonder if Sam will go back.
And his mom likes him, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Maybe it'll all work out.
Maybe. Because
he has little Sam. Right? I guess he didn't give birth to that kid.
Yeah, so
I'm sure he didn't give birth to anybody.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. He didn't help conceive that child. But maybe he conceive another one, and then, you know, the Tarleys can live on.
Never know. I'm actually surprised we have we seen Gilly and Sam hook up yet?
Yeah, we did after like when he got beat up trying to save her, and then I think they did it.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
So they've at least done it once.
But it's obviously been a while because he seems a little stressed out.
He does.
Just a little bit.
If he could have just like held off on his little temper tantrum just a little bit longer, we would have had a big reveal.
Well, to be fair, he's trying to do something and she's talking.
We got enough of it, though. We got enough of it to understand. But then, of course, he gives the book to the kid because everybody knows as a parent that kids love to take care of books.
I've got plenty of ripped pages to show anybody that argues that.
But so the next scene, we go to King's Landing, and Jaime informs Cersei of the loss. And Cersei kind of dismisses it. You know, it's like, oh, the Golden Company, you know, will be along, and they're going to fight for us as long as we pay them. And then Jaime, this is one of the things that's really, you know, interesting, because Jaime is pretty much conceding, like, that they're done. You know, like, I just saw the Dothraki. Killing was sport for them. You know, we can't win. And
he's a prideful soldier.
He is, and that's something. He knows that. He's just thinking militarily. You know, and Tyrion even kind of echoes this later. You know, the fact that, like, you know, you're a soldier, you know that you can't win.
Right.
But
the only way they can win is if Dany goes off the rails.
No, right. I mean, I think we saw how she can win later on in this episode, so we'll dig into it then. Okay. Capital M-E-H.
Meh. We all had to kind of spell it out. Like,
sorry.
Okay.
I'm doing it in my head. I go,
meh, it's a well-known phrase.
M-I-C-K-E-Y. I don't know.
But, you know, sarcastically, Cersei says, like, well, maybe Tyrion can intercede on her behalf as an apology for murdering our father and our son. And so we actually did. Like, I know a lot of fans were wanting this. You know, Jaime actually did tell Cersei that it wasn't Tyrion that killed Joffrey. And Cersei kind of gets mad. You know, like, she's so... That's something you see, the madness of Cersei now, too, is that she's... Even though she was always kind of a little mad, she was always kind of calculating. But now it's just like she doesn't care. She's letting all of everything just vent. And she's just like, you know, she should have died screaming, you know. And then Jaime kind of brings it back home. It's like, her whole house is dead. You know, like, what's it matter? Like, you know, it's like, right. And if we don't do something, we're going to be dead too. And
But Cersei doesn't, I don't think she cares.
No, she doesn't.
We've been saying this for a while. She just
Well, I mean, she lost all of her kids. Well, save for the possible next one, but you know, so she doesn't have anything really. She who what does she care?
Yeah, she doesn't.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the next scene goes on to Dragonstone, and you see Jon watching Drogon and Dany fly in, and another really great CGI shot. And
yeah, that was really good actually.
Because you get almost a little scared, because like, you mean, you're getting a full facial shot of Drogon with all the teeth and everything. And you're just like, oh crap! Like,
can we just say this? The dragons are ugly.
Oh yeah,
Danny has supposed Danny has to be pretty.
Danny, well, I'm just saying this. Danny has some ugly kids.
Oh,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm
just saying. But I thought what made this scene was the acting of Jon Snow. Kit Harington. He sold it because. You know, he's looking at nothing.
Yeah, he's looking at like a tennis ball, pretty much.
Tennis ball, probably. And like Nick said, you felt a little fear because he sold it.
Well, as soon as he pulled
it. He almost like it was in wonderment of it. He wasn't afraid of
that
it.
To me, he looked like he was afraid. And then, like,
was he
said,
petrified?
He can't. Well, he's shaking his hand. You know, he's going out to pet it and stuff like that. So,
as soon as he pulled his glove off, I thought, oh my God, he's going to get his hand bit off.
Because this thing's looking at him like, you know. I could bite your head off. I mean, it was.
Nick, I have a question here from like an educated book person. am I wrong in hearing or thinking that Danny's the only one that can actually ride the dragons because it's like a million degrees on those things or something like that?
Right. Someone actually asked me this on the Facebook group, and I could be a little wrong here, so I will admit that. But the way I remember it from the books is that they always talked about how, like, the dragons are too hot. Like, I mean, exactly what you're saying, Jay. Like, Targaryens, because they're of the dragon, is that they can withstand the heat and the fire, and only true Targaryens can ride dragons because they're immune to the heat. But, however, a book that came out, one of the novellas that was in one of the anthologies, it was The Dance of the Dragons, which happens, like, 100 years before this time. It was two Targaryens fighting each other, and like their families or sides of their families were fighting over the Iron Throne, and they all started killing each other off so much, but they still had dragons, so they started getting bastards that had Targaryen blood to see if they could ride them, and then they actually even got a few normal common people to see if they were brave enough to try it, they could do it. And so
ride the dragon.
Yeah, and actually a few people were successful. So it's not just a Targaryen that can do it.
Because I didn't
not
know if just, him touching the dragon was like a signal to Dany that, hey, he might have some Targaryen blood in him.
Because well, she did look at him.
Yeah, and that's kind of what they're kind of hinting at. But it could be one of those eras that George R. Martin has kind of said that he hated. Because in book one and in season one, when the right comes in, it comes in, Jon actually burns himself with fire. And so that was one of those moments where it's like, oh, he's not a true Targaryen because he was burned by fire. But you see here, though, he did touch the dragon. So it's like, oh, okay. I mean, we already know that he most likely is a Targaryen. So it's just,
right.
Now, but we don't know if he can ride the dragon or not.
My question is the heat just on the back, or is the heat coming off the entire dragon? So if you're standing close to the dragon, it's like, you know, you're close to a fireplace, you feel the heat.
I didn't study dragon anatomy, so
I'm just curious. I mean, yeah, I think it's a legitimate question that should have been answered.
I need answers.
I guess I'll have to ask somebody else. I'll ask the listeners out there. What do you think?
Is Jack right?
It's not a matter of Jack being Jack. Yeah, doesn't actually, know. Jack...
Do you want to confirm also that jackisright@gmail.com is not available? So that so don't whoever emailed that email is not you, Jack. Is that correct?
No, it's not. Yeah, it is not. Someone did email it?
No, I'm just saying if anybody, because you told them to email it last week.
I put on the Facebook page. Don't
but maybe
do
they're
it
not on the Facebook page. So you want to confirm. But did you make a new email or no for with you know people that side with you?
Oh, no. I didn't.
Oh, okay. I mean, well, you should. Anywho.
Do I want to answer a million emails a day? No.
Yes, because all the people that think you're right, that's how many emails you'd be getting. Sure.
Oh, easily. Easily.
But, you know, after Danny dismounts and is impressed that John pet Drogon and Drogon led him, what's really the next thing that's really kind of an importance here is that she brings up that what Ser Davos said when they first met is that, you know, Ser Davos said you took a dagger to the heart. Is that true? And of course, he kind of dismisses it first as like Ser Davos likes to tell tall tales, embellish, yeah. But then I kind of wondered, you know, you'd like to know, like, what was his next sentence going to be? Like, what did he actually tell her? But then it's interrupted, of course. But I do love it. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the meme or not I put up today, which I thought was the funniest thing I'd seen in a long time. Because you see the Dothraki go, like, this man claims he's a friend of yours. And then it's Jorah. Jorah's back. And then you see Danny go, yes, he is a friend of mine. And then the meme goes, he is my best friend. He is the friendliest of all my friends. And then, like, friend hug. You know, like, it's like, oh, Ser Jorah, you're back and you're still in the friend zone.
But he got back quick.
This was the first of just, like, again, I guess we just have to assume that time has passed, but they're just not showing us that time. But it did seem... like rather convenient that he was there.
Oh yeah, there's no telling how many miles he traveled in, you know, one episode. You're just like, what? Or two. But
hey, yes, we have a Jorah Danny reunion. Did anybody think that would happen as quickly as it's happened?
Are you cured?
Well,
maybe.
Yes, I mean, because again, at the start of the season, he was like on death's door, and yeah. we're 5 episodes in or whatever it is, and he's back with Danny. Like, it just season's incredible.
You cut the flesh off someone, it just grows back. It's just amazing.
Really quickly.
Yeah. Well, there was the base layer underneath it.
Yeah, he had Skelegro, you know, even though it's but so the next thing we see is a really quick scene in Winterfell. With Bran, which I thought was another cool little scene of him, like, cause you could see all the crows' eyes twitching. So he was like, he was switching from crow to crow. It looked like just seeing what they would see, like, very rapidly. So his skills are definitely growing, and how quickly he can warg into multiple things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys picked that up.
No, yeah, it was cool. It was
a very cool scene.
Yeah, but then, you know, he just sees that the Army of the Dead and the Night's King are approaching. Eastwatch by the Sea, and he wakes up to tell the new maester to send ravens.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Night's King looked at all the crows, and they all like, wah! Backed off.
Well, yeah. And you wonder,
wouldn't you?
Well, I think it's...
Because the Night's King, that's what kind of led... So there's some weird connection between Bran and the Night's King since Bran kind of went and, like, thought he couldn't see him, and he did see him.
Right. I also think that's Bran's fear, too. You know, and the fact that it doesn't matter how much he sees, the fact that someone recognizes him while he's doing this, it freaks him out like it would anybody. You know, so he kind of, you know, like a nightmare, it kind of jolts you awake. It's the mm-hmm. same thing. It kind of like, and so all the crows jolting is like him kind of going like, oh, crap, someone saw me, you know, and maybe that's just the way I see it.
I agree. Still didn't get my answer on the dragon, but on that, I agree with you.
Okay, yeah. Stay away from the front and the back end of the dragon, Jack.
Well, definitely the back end.
Yeah. Fire farts.
Hashtag fire farts.
Oh, we shouldn't have had the chili.
What are you feeding this dragon?
People?
It's gone. so he cut to the Citadel.
Wait, seriously, what do the dragons eat?
I know, that's a good question, because, like, I mean, how many dragon movies are there? Because I know, like, in the one that came out in, like, 2002, the one with Matthew McConaughey and Batman.
Right.
Christian Bale. What the dragons would do that, like, wherever they found, like, wheat or any kind of food, they would burn it all because they ate the ash from it. So I don't. Yeah. But no, you've seen the dragons, though, you know, they ate that lamb. I think it was a lamb.
I know, but it's been a while. But it's been a while since I've seen them eat, and they're huge.
Yeah, it's like one of those things, like in 24, you don't see them use the bathroom. It's just like, you know, assume it's happening.
Okay, but I'm just saying that I don't see sheep walking around this place at all. And
that's why Jack Bauer yelled all the time. He was severely constipated.
I gotta get this solved before 24 hours is up. I gotta go.
Okay, so anyway, we digress. The maesters receive the word from Bran, but they don't know what to make of it because they dismiss it as prophecies of doom because it's winter and everything. And then Sam's over.
Bad Twitter.
Yeah. Sam comes in, though, because he's been basically, you know, his job is basically a transcriber. He's keeping all the old scripts up to date. And he overhears them talking about it, and he goes, oh, that's Brandon Stark, you know, the crippled boy. I helped him through the wall, which they actually kind of are surprised. And like, oh, so this is legit then. Yeah. But it says, okay, so and then Sam's like, we should listen to what he has to say. And then, of course, they're like, keep going. And Sam actually makes a good point here in the fact, like, everyone trusts you because, you know, they're the wise people of their realm. And it's like, if you tell people to send troops to the north, they will. And if you just Sam, to his credit, he does this really calmly, you know, and he tries to do it because you see the frustration in the next scene with him and that how he feels like no one's taking him seriously and he's wasting his time. But he's saying that, like, if you just tell everyone to search the scrolls about the Long Night, then perhaps we can find something to defeat this threat.
For good, and it won't come back.
For good, yeah.
Why are people so doubtful towards the White Walkers?
Well, it's like anything else. It's like
you got dragons flying around.
I mean, to them, it's probably just as absurd as, you know, the Easter Bunny being real. Sorry for any children listening.
Wait. It's not real?
It's not real.
Way to go, Nick.
Oh, Easter. God. Jack, you lied to me my whole life.
It will never be the same to me.
But, you know, it's like they did. They made that point, what, episode 2 or 3? The fact that, you know, they've been here throughout time, so why should they worry about something that's like that, you know?
And you see it in real life, you know? Like, you have those, like, people that, oh, that's not grass, you know, and just kind of just disregard it.
You could even relate to, like, global warming today. I mean, everybody knows it's happening, but it's like, oh, that won't happen for another 50 or 60 years, so don't worry about it, you know. And yeah. And next thing you know, it's here.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it doesn't help that dragons flying around.
It's really hot outside. All those dragon parts are really
the dragon parts. The methane. You think a human being? The methane.
It's killing the ozone.
Oh my gosh. That's actually the next campaign is, you know, end global warming. You know, you say winter's coming, dragon but dragons are...
I don't see Cersei being the one to champion that cause.
All right, let's move
who,
on.
Who would champion that cause?
I don't care. Let's move on.
But the maesters dismiss...
I'm going to say it would be Sam, but that's just... I'm throwing it.
The maesters dismiss, though, it could be fake news from Cersei. or the Dree Dragon Queen. And Sam interrupts them and says, it's real, I've seen it. But still, even Sam's still dismissed. Like, okay, we'll send for clarification.
Can you believe this guy?
Yeah, whatever.
Go back to your copying of the books.
Yeah, go back.
But then they have the classic case of, like, any, you know, world destruction movie. Like, we didn't listen.
Irwin Allen presents.
We should have listened.
You young kids at home, go back and check 70s movies.
It's a cookbook.
Do you think Sam, when he's rewriting the books, right?
Texas dying or whatever? Yeah.
Do you think, like, he checks? Does he, like, change things around?
You mean you think Sam's writing the Song of Ice and Fire, you mean?
No, it could be, but I'm just saying
that
maybe
theory that's around.
But no, maybe he's just like, you know, I don't like these guys, so.
I don't think so.
All right. I would do
but,
it.
That's you okay. know, it is kind of, I can't see, I mean, though it's probably, that's how it's going to be that Sam wrote it all, but I still can't see him writing it all because he wasn't there for a lot of these things. So how
that's
could he write?
All the text and everything like that.
Yeah, but like, how could he get Stannis Baratheon's story? You know, or
he
how could
from
he
Davos,
get
so Davos?
Yeah. Okay.
And then they have like the last scene. It's an old Sam, and it's played by George R. R. Martin.
Ah, that'd be interesting.
Oh, so Sam's gonna be drunk.
Is George R. R. Martin a drunk?
Is he drunk? No.
No. No. He's just a jolly man.
Okay. All right.
Jeez, Jack. Libel against George R. R. Martin. This is not good. It's not good for the show.
And there went half our listeners. You hear what that guy said about George R. R. Martin?
I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't see him at Comic-Con.
All right, let's...
I'll move on from there.
And then, yeah, we move on to Dragonstone. And Tyrion is another interesting scene. Like, Tyrion's trying to justify to Varys why he let Dany burn the Tarleys alive.
We didn't have a choice.
Yeah, I know, but like he's feeling guilty of like, you know, because he's trying to save their lives, and of course they wouldn't take his help, and she wouldn't listen to him. And I thought it was just a good scene because Varys talks about that too. It was like, he said, Tyrion's like, I can't make her decisions for her, you know, and then Varys is like, I'm only a purveyor of information, you know, that's what I had to tell myself, you know, as well as I'm not the one doing it. I'm not the one making decisions. I'm just there to help.
And plus, I think Danny's lost a little faith in Tyrion.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think Tyrion is feeling that too. I think it's another thing because, you know, all of his military choices have been wrong.
Right.
She didn't listen to him again. But then it's also, they actually bring this up too. It's like another thing they're kind of beating us over the head with a little bit, not too bad, but like, that's kind of what they're talking about. They said, like, because like, it's like, you don't have to worry. She's not her father, you know? And Varys is like, oh, I know. And nor will she, but you have to learn. You have to get her to listen to you. And that's amazing. It's like they're playing with this idea of if she's left to her own devices that she might go mad. At least that's just the way I'm seeing it.
Yeah, I'm seeing it actually the same way. So
okay.
We agree.
And I will just say that I think it's a good scene to have in that they are concerned about it, but I don't think she's going to go mad.
No, I don't think
I'm not saying she's going mad, but they are leading us to believe that she could go mad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been like three episodes in a row. I think they've said something about it.
Right. But I did like this last little bit, you know, between them with Tyrion. I mean, Varys has been tapping this Raven scroll the whole time, kind of anxiously, and then Tyrion's like, "Did you read it?" And Varys is like, "No, it's a sealed scroll." And then they kind of like, takes a little sip of wine and goes, "So what does it say?" You know? I just love that because we all knew he'd read it because that's what he does, you know.
Can I go back to the Dany. The reason I think that they're so concerned is she's built, you know, has all these people under her because they respect and love her. They don't want her to lead with fear, like she's been, you know, where she's burning people and all that stuff. Well, they want her to be a respected queen,
right?
That people love her and want to do right by her. Not that like with Cersei, they follow Cersei because they're afraid they're going to get killed if they don't.
But that's what Dany's been doing since she's arrived in Westeros, has been leading from fear. And
right, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think they're concerned that you need to get and Tyrion's tried a few times and she's just not listening.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, you made a great point, Jack. I'm glad you made it. Because that's true. Because that's kind of like what Jay was saying earlier. Like, you know, he saw Dany's point of saying, like, you know, either join me or die. But that was out of fear. Because I know if I was a regular soldier on the field, and let's just say I'm tired of war. Because you think about it, these guys have been fighting for how many years now?
Well, Game of Thrones, it could be a couple days.
It's true. But, you know, like, what if I would have been like, I'm not opposed to you, but I want to go home. You know, like, and I wouldn't want to fight, but I don't want to die either. And that's what I mean. Like, you know, she didn't really inspire hope or any kind of loyalty.
It wasn't join me. It was like when she freed this, you know, the slaves and all this other stuff. She did it. They love her for it. They'll die for it because they love her. These people bending a knee, they're not going to die for it. Like you said, they just want to live.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
But then it cuts to John actually reading the scroll, which is the one that Bran sent, informing him that the Night King is coming. But, you know, John admits to this, that little era that we had a couple episodes back where I said, where he's like, I've lost two brothers too. And I was like, well, doesn't he not know that Bran, doesn't he think that Bran's dead too? So he should have said right. Three brothers. Yeah. But he said, I thought Bran was dead. I was like, see, you were wrong.
You know nothing, John Snow.
Yeah, you know nothing. You can't even count how many brothers you've lost.
Well, you know, it's you know, math wasn't important back then.
So, yeah, he informs that, you know, he thought Arya and Bran were both dead. But, you know, let's see here. But then he realizes, he's like, I have to leave now because my siblings are there. The Night King is coming. I have to bring the dragon glass back. And then Cersei kind of, not Cersei, Dany kind of objects to it. And he goes, well, fine, come with me. And, you know, it's one of those logical things I don't really quite understand, because like, to me, if I was Dany, like, okay, let's go. Because Cersei is not really a threat, but she's just like, what, and leave all this to Cersei? It's like, what's Cersei going to do?
Yeah.
Really?
Right.
Like, That's true.
Just keep a couple dragons around.
Yeah, just go. Just go with Jon. Big deal. Go. But then they come up with this really, to me, insane kind of plan of like, okay, we need to convince Cersei to join us. And to do this, I'll bring her a dead soldier or the zombie soldiers.
Yeah, I was having trouble with this too.
Yeah, I just,
The only thing I could think of is if they can get Cersei to delay her a little bit to defeat the White Walkers, then they can have the final conclusion of who's going to fight for the crown, win the crown, but the throne, I mean. I was a little confused on this scene.
Yeah, because, I mean, Cersei's not going to work with them, even though she said...
Like, no.
It doesn't make sense.
And Tyrion knows that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my nitpick of my the nitpick. Episode.
Let it out, Jay.
Because it's stupid. It's a stupid idea. It just sounds so stupid.
Was it just a way to get the plot to get all those guys together
That's
to go out?
That's what it seems like. It just seems like we want to make a Suicide Squad Game of Thrones edition. Mm-hmm. And we have to like have this, you know.
I thought it was the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, sure. Magnificent Seven. This impossible task.
What are they going to do to one of the White Walkers? They're all like, they're all together.
Hey, you
over here.
Somebody is like, that the white they're going to bring back is, or the weight, whatever you probably pronounce it, is going to be one of them.
That's what I think, too. Yeah.
But, yeah, I just
hope it's not Ser Jorah.
But it's stupid. Like, okay, so they bring and what's going to, now Cersei's just going to all of a sudden not want to murder all of them? Come on.
And we already know that she doesn't care.
Yeah. She blew up her own, or not she blew up her son, but she basically forced him to commit suicide.
She's done. I mean,
she's going to see an undead person. Like, oh my god!
What is Tyrion's plan? Part of his plan? Didn't he bring it up, or did he go? Was he okay with?
He wants to. Well, his plan was, you know, like you have to get into the castle to even get an audience with Cersei to convince her, and so he says, well, she only listened to Jaime, so I need to go to King's Landing to talk.
Yeah, I was confused. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it'll be great, and we'll be happy the next couple of weeks. But only thing I saw was you know, this is the second to last season, right? Or last season. So maybe they just we can't have the final battle scene. Well, how are we gonna divert the battle? Okay, we'll do this. That's the only thing I was thinking of. I said, why are we going in this direction?
But that's where I think, Nick, your thought of it, or the idea of how this season would be, And I agree with it. Is like, okay, this is where they take down Cersei. Next season was now where they have to take on the White Walkers. This just to me seems to be, okay, let's, I guess, try and convince Cersei to fight against the White Walkers with us, and then we'll deal with Cersei. And it just to me seems just like a bad order that's not going to work, because you can never, right. I don't say you ever align yourself with Cersei, because she will stab you in the back.
Unless that's the plan of the episode, you know, is that Cersei says, okay, I'm in, and then she turns around and.
Exactly. So why are you giving her an in? That's so stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still very possible that, you know, she makes a really dumb decision. And I still think Jaime's going to kill her. I that's just what I've always believed, that Jaime is going to be one that kills Cersei.
I thought so, but now she did. She brought him back in.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Yeah.
She got knocked very, up.
Yeah. But anyway, just to kind of end this little segment here, like so Davos agrees that he's going to smuggle Tyrion in, and Jon and Jorah decide to go north to capture a white, or, you know.
Meh.
Yeah. But you know what's funny about that is, I don't know if you guys have picked up on this either, because it's kind of more of a book thing, but you know Jon is dead, right? Jon is a white. He's a fire white versus an ice. And same as like Derek Don, I'm getting tongue tied. Dondarrion is also dead. You know, he's been killed. He was killed by the Hound. He's been killed many times. And so they've been brought back to life. So basically they are zombies too, but they're just of the opposite spectrum.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Yeah. I mean, I knew they had died, and the other guy died several times, but
yeah. So, I mean, because their heart isn't beating, they are rotting. I mean, look at Derek. He's been dead so many times. Like, he's wearing an eye patch now. Like, he's kind of looks really haggardly, you know, because.
Well, he's the different ways he's died, though.
True.
Is Jon rotting too?
I don't know if Jon's rotting, but like he should be. From what George R. R. Martin has said and things like that, is that Jon is not alive. I mean, he is dead. And it's like what Jay and I have been talking about, like, you know, it's a Gandalf the White, Grey kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that what's going to happen once the White Walkers are defeated. Because like, that's when George R. R. Martin has said it's going to be a bittersweet ending. And people out there, I'm not sure if this is the way it's going to end. But I'm just saying, like, that's what I see it, though, is that, you know, Jon, after he fulfills his role, he may be the prince that was promised and the true king. But I don't see him really living past this.
He could rot on the throne.
Maybe.
That'll be the sequel. Anyway.
Still knowing nothing.
Yeah.
It cuts to Winterfell, and you see Sansa holding court, where you hear Lord Glover and Lord Royce of the Bale objecting to Jon not being in the North and not ruling over his kingdom, and that they should have chosen Sansa to rule instead. And immediately I thought, oh God, this is Littlefinger. This is Littlefinger behind this, spreading right. doubt. It just makes sense for this to happen. And Sansa doesn't really say anything. She just kind of thanks him. And then it cuts to Sansa and Arya talking about what just conspired. And they walk into Eddard Stark and Catelyn's bedroom.
Well, she said you should have offended Jon, and right. I agreed with her.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's because she says, well, the first thing they say is that, you know, Arya's like, you're in mom and dad's room. And Sansa's like, yeah, so? She's like, well, and it's one of those things like how you always think of your siblings as they were younger. You don't really ever see them as an adult or that they change. You always remember that person that way. I kind of felt that way about Arya here, is that she's still expecting Sansa to be this old version of herself.
Yeah.
Because she's like, you always liked nice things and it made you feel better than everyone else. And so that's why you're in mom and dad's room. Why aren't you in your room? It kind of was like a kid kind of cattiness.
Yeah.
And then she changes it and says that, like, you should have defended Jon. You know, he's family.
Yep.
Right. But then Sansa, I give Sansa some credit here. She actually does make some good cases. I mean, case for herself, though. She goes, if I insult these lords, then they'll leave. And then Jon loses his army. You know, the reason why we got the North is because we worked together.
Mm-hmm.
But then Arya does make a great counterpoint. saying like, well, yeah, and if John doesn't come back, then you need their support so you can get what you really want. And and that was another great point. This is like, because, you know, exactly, that's Littlefinger. I don't see Littlefinger really getting into her head, but it has rubbed off on her, because you think about who she's been around with her entire life. It's been Cersei and Littlefinger, two people who are really conniving.
Right.
And she says that, like, how can you even think that? And then Arya's like, you're thinking it right now. You know, she doesn't really say, you know, you want it, but that's what she's kind of saying. And it does. I see both points of view of this. But it's also like you're starting to see what Littlefinger's game is. And you saw it, you know, last episode too, is that that's what he wants to do. He wants to turn the Starks against Jon, and he wants to turn the Starks against each other.
Yep.
So ultimately, Sansa needs him, and he can marry Sansa.
Yep.
And then he's the king of the North and the king of the Eyrie. And it's just, I mean, it's so far, Littlefinger is doing quite well for himself, I think.
Well, he's got Arya chasing him around. And following crumbs that he's leaving behind. Do we want to talk about the scroll that she found in his room?
It's later on.
I thought it was right after this. That's my bad.
No, that's fine.
No, let's go to the next scene. I'm sorry.
Way to go.
Ugh, I'm the worst.
Okay, yeah. Something happened in my thing. Okay, so it cuts back to King's Landing. And Davos and Tyrion arrive on the beach. And then you see Bronn leading Jaime through the dungeons where all the dragon bones are. And Jaime's like wondering why they're going down there, because he believes they're going to go spar so he can get prepared. And then all of a sudden Tyrion appears. Tyrion tries to break the ice a little bit, which I thought was nice. And then, like, you know, because Jaime was always the warrior and Tyrion was always a smart one. And he's just like, you know, congratulations, you beat me on the field. You know, you really outsmarted me. And then father would be proud, to which Jaime's like, you know, no, don't tell me. I don't talk about father.
Yeah.
You murdered him.
Yeah. But he says, well, what do you want? And then this is where we were talking about earlier. Like, Danny's kind of like, you know, I mean, you know, Danny's going to win. You know this, you know, but she's not cruel. If you just will agree to suspend hostilities and meet certain terms, we need to defeat this army of the dead.
Yeah.
Which,
that's it?
Lame idea.
Yeah.
Okay. No more picky? Okay.
Huh? No, I say that my nitpick, Nick, here, again, is just, this is a stupid plan on Daenerys.
Okay.
Wouldn't you expect a hug between the two brothers, maybe?
No, because he's still ticked off. He killed his dad, killed his pops. Hey, even though I think Tyrion has the moral high ground here, but still.
But didn't he say that his, you know, I thought he gave a good case why he killed his dad. I mean,
right. Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he was going to kill me, and you knew I was innocent.
But, you know, I can see it from Jaime's point of view, too, though, because Jaime let Tyrion go out of love for his brother.
Right.
And that was, you know, and then Tyrion kind of made him regret that decision because he killed their dad. So I can see that from his point of view of, like, you know, I did you a solid and then you crapped on me. Like, you know,
you crapped on me and you killed dad on the crapper.
Yeah, that's true. But then he cuts really quickly back to Davos, and he's in Flea Bottom, and he finds Gendry.
Yay! It's Gendry, isn't it?
Gendry, yeah.
Gendry.
I would say Gendry. I don't know why. But he looked really different. You know,
he looked older.
Like, wow.
Well, it's been 8 years since you last saw me, so.
Yeah, I rode on that boat for a long time, dude. You know?
Well, I think Davos even says, I thought you'd still be paddling.
Yeah.
But this is Game of Thrones, where you don't have to paddle that far.
Yeah. But basically, it's a short scene, and Davos just asks him to come with him, and Gendry is extremely happy to come, because he's always been prepared that something was going to, you know, he's going to leave at any moment. But what's also interesting about this scene, which I don't think a lot of people picked up on, was he picked up a warhammer instead of a sword, which is what Robert Baratheon always fought with, which was... It was his dad's weapons of choice. And not only is it his father's weapon of choice, he actually had the Baratheon stag on the Warhammer.
Oh.
So he's fully embraced that he is a Baratheon. And just going ahead and skipping ahead, I think that's why. Well, not initially why, but him telling John that I am Robert Baratheon's son. Only a king can legitimize a bastard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where that's going to go with Gendry, is that eventually Gendry will be the lord of the Baratheon family now, because the Baratheons are all gone and no one is. That's one thing that's really funny about this entire series, that you don't hear anything about the Stormlands ever after season one. You're like, well, who's ruling over the Stormlands? Because it's just a whole kingdom that no one even talks about anymore.
Yeah. They're just hanging out there, you know, ruling themselves and such.
trying to get through the winter.
Just kicking back. Nice when you don't have any politicians in. Then you know they cut back. They get back to the beach, and Davos advises to keep his identity secret. But then they're quickly found by two guards. Davos tries to pay him off, but then Tyrion arrives, and they recognize him. And then Gendry shows his skills with the Warhammer.
The hammer.
Those are some graphic scenes.
The role of
there.
Thor from the Avengers will be Gendry.
Mm-hmm.
Did some damage, that's for sure.
And then it cuts back to Jaime visiting Cersei. And this is where people are questioning whether or not Cersei is pregnant or not, really pregnant. I couldn't make it out. And I know Jay, you listened with the subtitles on. I could have sworn I heard Qyburn say, like, I can run more tests or something like
that. That's what it was.
Okay.
That's why I thought, I was like, does she have like cancer or something? Is it finally going to eat her alive? No, she has a baby apparently.
Okay, so he tells her that he met with Tyrion, and tells her that Dany wants a truce. But then like she kind of brushes over all of this and just kind of immediately goes, "Are you going to punish Bronn?" And that's what you can see, like, what's on her psyche in the fact that, like, she doesn't like people who are betraying or people who are undermining her.
Right.
And he kind of, like, looks at her like, what? He goes, will you let your friend betray you? And, you know, because that was, I think every viewer out there, that was the last thing we were even thinking about, was, like, because Bronn's just doing a solid for another friend,
yeah,
really.
Exactly.
And
Bronn, Jaime wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Bronn.
It threw me off, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. But then she says, you know, like, I've come to understand that it would be in our best interest already to do something with Dany, because what we have to be clever for our house and for this. And that's when she's like, boom, I'm pregnant.
You're going to be a papa again.
Again.
He said, what? I've been gone for a year fighting.
No, I was going to
Are you
half an
sure?
episode.
Are you sure? What about that guy with the boats?
How do I know I'm the father? I mean, Qyburn was just here.
Right. Well, that's where for me it's like when he thinks he can probably get out, she pulls him back in. That's where it's the evil of Cersei here is this bad, really bad influence on Jaime.
He's a big boy.
I was really confused with her last statement of, like, you know, because they're kissing, because they're happy, and then all of a sudden she goes, but never betray me again. I was like, what did he betray her? I didn't.
He met with Tyrion.
They didn't bring Tyrion.
Well, it's not like he had a choice. You know, he didn't really betray her because he was betrayed himself.
But he could have brought Tyrion back.
Or could have killed Bronn.
Okay.
You know.
You got to think like Cersei.
But that's where he kind of had a worried look on his face. So I was like, to you, you know, your theory, Nick, that he's going to kill Cersei. It does add to that a little bit. But I don't know.
Will he kill Cersei to save Tyrion?
Don't know. It depends if she's still pregnant or not, I think.
Mm-hmm. No. I think that she'll just do something stupid, you know, or something really cruel, because that's what she's out. It's just for vengeance. And he'll do it to save his family. You know, he could be, you're right. I mean, it could be to save Tyrion. But I think in the end, you know, it's the same as like what the Queen of Thorns was saying, is that she'll be the ruin of you if you don't wise up.
Well, she knows Cersei's always been terrible to Tyrion. Always. So maybe that's, I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
But yeah, and it cuts to Dragonstone, which you've kind of already talked about with Davos and Gentry meeting Jon Snow and him just fully admitting that he's Robert Bastard and that they were friends and we should be friends. And then it kind of was an awkward moment here where it kind of seemed like just two meatheads who didn't really know what to say to each other. like, you're a lot leaner. Well, you're a lot shorter. And it's just kind of like, okay.
I'm king of the north.
Yeah. But John.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little weird.
I mean, John very gentlemanly just kind of laughed it off. Of kind of like, okay, whatever.
Again, to your point, Nick, like calling back to season one, like I said, no, that's how the scene was between Robert and Ned, you know, where they made fun of him being fatter and him being older, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good. That's
but they were friends though.
Exactly. So I think they're trying to echo that, you know, Robert and Ned, and now Gendry.
I get it, but not really friends, whereas the others were.
I know.
Ned and Robert were friends.
You're right. I'm just saying we're echoes from season one.
I'm just nitpicking your what you said.
What I'm saying is good. You're just nitpicking what they did.
No, I'm nitpicking what you said, which was bad.
So you're saying there's no echoing season one there?
Oh, it could be echoing, but it doesn't work because they're not friends.
But they echoed. You can't disregard the echo.
Oh, you can. I can pretend
it wasn't
jealousy.
It's the thirst for hunger of power.
Okay. So anyway, so Gendry. I never say names right. That's what I'm famous for.
Why can't he have a? Let's just call him Jay.
Yeah.
Since he seems to be echoing.
Gendry.
Like a hard G. Gendry.
Gendry. Gendry.
I like saying gin because that's what I drink.
I know, but we're gonna get like a bad review.
You can't say
the
name.
You're saying
Gendry.
Right. It's ticking me off.
You just say the name when I just say. Okay,
I couldn't get past that. It drove me crazy.
Nick never says his name right. He's the cutest guy on the show.
He is fairly handsome. I'll give him that.
Really? He's the cutest guy on the show?
Not the cutest, but he's pretty handsome.
I mean, he's not ugly, but I wouldn't be my top.
Just saying, a lot of the ladies like him. Just saying. They're like that one that, well, a couple seasons ago when he had his shirt off in front of Arya, and they're all like, ooh, that. There's feedback like crazy. Anyway.
That's very sexist.
Okay. So Tyrion and Jorah are at the boat, and they just say they're going to miss each other, and Dany tells Jon she's grown used to him. Oh, that's it. Off to the north for the bad plan.
Did Jon seem to be a little jealous of Jorah?
I didn't.
When he was talking to Dany, I just looking.
Nah.
He had a look like.
I think Danny's already kind of made it clear to Jon that, you know, he's in the friend zone for Jorah. So
okay, all right.
She gave him the friend hug. I think Jon. I mean, Jon may be a bit thick, but I think he picked that up.
Okay, so he's later on when they're walking, go, you know, you're in the friend zone,
right? Or though you never know, it could be one of those moments. That's why Jorah wanted to go with Jon, you know, like to kind of knock him out of the way.
So what did she say? Did she talk about me while I was gone?
Just a little bit.
Did a little bit. Did she mention me? Mm-hmm. Was she happy to see me?
Was she happy to see me? I had the grayscale. I don't know. And then on to, because I felt that this episode really went slow, kind of, because like after the fast pacing episodes of the past ones we've had, it didn't really pick up in a little bit at all until like this next scene here in the Citadel with Gilly and Sam, because we actually got a little nugget like, oh, so cool. So Gilly is reading to Sam random facts of Maester Maynard, which is just crazy, of steps and bowel movements and everything. And then she asks what an annulment means. And then Sam's like, it just means that you get rid of your wife. And then the kind of thing a lot of fans have been waiting to hear is that Gilly goes, well, it says here that Maester Maynard gave an annulment to a Prince Rigger. He doesn't really say his name right, but it's like, it's Rhaegar, and married him to someone else in secret in Dorne. which for everyone out there, that's where Lyanna was when Ned found her, was Dorne. In the Tower of Joy. So it's very possible that someone out there may be a true Targaryen.
Hopefully
I don't spell it out for anyone anymore.
Well, no, I mean, it does, because if it was annulled, and then there is, he's not a bastard.
Right, and he's actually the true heir, not Dany.
Is he the true heir? Dany's older, so when it goes
no,
to the...
John's older.
John's older than Dany?
He's older by like 6 to 8 months.
But it... Okay, so it's based on age, not based on the fact that she is, I guess...
Like, lineage,
in
though.
The lineage,
though,
she's ahead of in the pecking order?
Because the way it goes is that you had the Mad King. The Mad King had three kids, which was Rhaegar, Viserys, who got the gold crown by Drogon, killed, and then you have Dany. And Rhaegar had two children with Alara Martell, who died by the mountain, which is why I say their names, if you remember.
Yep.
And then he annulled her, apparently, and had his third child with Lyanna Stark, which is Jon Snow. And so that's the way it goes. It's firstborn. So it goes Rhaegar, and then any of his children would go. And if all of his children are dead, then it goes to Viserys, who he now is dead. Then it would go to Dany.
Ah, okay.
And so Dany, even though she is Jon's aunt, is still beneath him in succession.
So is that going to be the big twist at the end of the season when Jon goes, bend the knee?
Oh, that's a good one.
How does Dany take that?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is that she has dragons, so it'd be like, I don't care what that book says, Dracarys.
Because obviously that's where Sam's going to be heading out to, right?
I don't know where Sam's going. He could go home. I would assume, he's...
Well, he grabbed books, so I'm assuming there has to be a reason why he did that and why he's leaving, so...
I assume he's going back to the north, but, which should take him an entire season to get there.
No, he'll be there next week.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the traffic.
Yeah. All the ships. Okay, so as we're getting to the point, and she's like, then Sam just interrupts her, and she's like, oh, shut up, Sam, for once.
We like Sam, but we've never wanted to tell Sam to shut up, but this is the one time in the series we wanted Sam to be quiet.
Exactly. But, it's got to get it, though. It's because he's frustrated because that's what he's doing. He's transcribing these old books of some old maester talking about steps and pooping.
Yeah. And Gilly won't be quiet. Go watch a TV show, Gilly. Is that what he's thinking?
Go watch a TV show.
He was definitely frustrated with her.
Well, he's always frustrated.
Gilly.
Bye. So he gets up, though. He steals some scrolls, and then they leave. They choose to leave the Citadel, which that was a really shock to me because I didn't see Sam leaving so soon. I thought he would at least become a maester.
He's had it.
Yeah.
He's had it.
And then now we're back to Winterfell, Jay, with Arya spying on Littlefinger, which, you could see that in that first little scene where he's talking to that young girl, that it looked like he was looking at Arya like, through the side anyway. Like, he knew that she was standing there.
This was pretty obvious scene.
Yeah.
No way Littlefinger's that stupid.
But that's where I'm kind of like, I'm upset that, and again, we've seen this with Arya time and time again, that she's so kind of like headstrong, just like diving into it, that she's not looking at the bigger picture, and she's...
Well, does she remind you of someone?
She's being like her papa.
There you go. It's in her blood. I mean, that's who she is. Sit back and relax. Well, the whole Stark family we talked about, I think, last week. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show for a while.
But you did see, though, Littlefinger talking with Lord Glover and Lord Royce again. So you can you make the parallels that he is definitely planting those seeds of doubt with these two high lords, to be on Sansa's side. And then the new maester comes up and gives him the scroll, and Littlefinger says, this is the only copy. And you're like, yes. And of course, you're always curious like what it could be. And he goes into his room, and then Arya sneaks in and reads it. And it turns out it's the scroll that Sansa sent in very early in season 2 when Cersei made Sansa write to Robb Stark and say, that... Ned had tried to steal Joffrey's throne, and that in order to make up for it, you need to come down and bend the knee to Joffrey.
Right.
And, you know, this is really interesting because now that Littlefinger knows that she read it, you know, because Arya doesn't know that Sansa wrote this at Cersei's, you know, insistence.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
She, and so in Arya's mind, it's probably going to prove to Arya that Sansa is evil and that Sansa's out for herself. And because, I mean, because if you think about it, Sansa in season one wanted desperately to marry Joffrey because she wanted to be queen.
Right.
And so this is just justification of saying, like, look, see, you would have done anything to be queen, and you know, let dad die. You let, and then you wanted our brother to come down, and what would have happened to our brother if he would have came down? And so it's a perfect ploy by Littlefinger to divide Arya and Sansa.
Yeah. And I just say, I was like, ah, Arya.
I agree.
Falling for it.
Well, you'd like to think she's smart, and she is. She's still my favorite.
You think maybe she'd go up to Sansa and ask her?
I think she will.
What about this Skrull?
Yeah. She's like, well,
she won't.
It's like you're thinking of me as season one Sansa right now, but really, I'm season seven Sansa. Okay, it was a different me back then.
I've grown a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm still a little jealous at times, but I've grown.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, not to say that Jack's right, because I would never do that, but. But I mean, you can see that though in the scene before where they're in the room together, that Sansa is trying to think strategically, and she's trying, and you saw it with Jon in a few episodes earlier, that she is trying to think as an adult, and she wants to be respected. So you can see different points of view of it. Like, she wants to be respectful of Jon because Jon is the king, but she also wanted Jon to respect her and take her opinion seriously, the same way Cersei was never taken seriously. And she wants to prove to people that she is just as capable as anyone else in the Stark family.
Well, yeah, that to me is where it's like, okay, well, it's not really jealousy. It's more she just wants to prove herself. Like, it's or Arya, this, you know, thinks like, the way you're acting right now doesn't tell me that you're loyal to Jon. It's less about like, oh, but I want to be like you. Then that's, to me, that would be jealousy versus what are like real, I think, higher level emotions and thoughts that they have going on. Hashtag Jack is wrong. No.
It's never right.
I'm sorry, I had to leave. My computer is about ready to die.
Oh. You don't, when you record a podcast, you don't plug it in, so you have it like charging, ready to go?
I was at 100% when we sat down to record.
Well, don't worry. We said lots of nice things about you while you were gone.
That's okay. You guys can disagree, but I laid out a perfect case for it today on the Jay and Jack Facebook page.
Okay. All right.
And then cut to the last little scene. And the John and Davos. Did Davos come? No. Arrived.
Davos went to Eastwatch, but he didn't. He stayed there, Eastwatch by the Sea, instead of like going out.
Okay. Yeah. And Jorah, they're at Eastwatch by the Sea, and they're trying to convince Tormund Giantsbane that they need to go out on this expedition to get one of the dead rites. And there's some good humor here between Tormund of like, so you're trying to convince the queen with the dragons or the queen that has sex with her brother? You know, that was funny. And of course he also is like, is curious where Brienne is, you know, like, where's the big woman? So, I mean, he's a one-track mind for sure. But he says, but you're not the only ones that want to go out. And he takes them down, and you see the Brotherhood Without Banners, at least what's left of them. And you see the Hound, Daeric Dondarrion, and Thoros of Myr. And they kind of come to a conclusion that, yeah, like, they're all here for the same reasons. And then John's like, yeah, we're all on the same side because we're all still breathing. And then cut to the Magnificent Seven going out the gate. And I thought, like, there's going to be some symbolism here because it's like there's seven of them and like a seven pointy star and the seven gods. I'm like, oh, does each of them represent one? And I was like, no, I'm just overthinking it.
It's one of those. It's, again, like, that's the beauty of Seven Samurai is like how many, you know, forms of pop culture have taken from that film. either directly through things like Magnificent Seven, but just beyond, like, you know, Avengers, and there's so many things, like, where you have all the these different people teaming up to. So like, this whole thing just feels like a movie play to me, where it's just less. I haven't really complained too much about the deviating from the books, maybe as some others has, but this one feels very much just like a very Hollywood trope that's being played out that I don't know if George R. R. Martin would do.
I think it's I think it's more dragging it out.
Yeah, this is the first episode where I felt it didn't fit the pacing of the previous episode. It felt really like a whole bunch of setup, even though it has some good little nuggets in there. It just wasn't. I kind of just felt, eh.
Well, you had to believe it was going to happen because the last episode was just so amazing that you have to rebuild what's going on. I mean, I didn't hate the episode, but it wasn't the best of the season.
No. But anyway, let's get to some phone calls.
All right, well, let's do that now with some listener feedback.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. I have some emails and phone calls to get into. I'll start off first with an email from Kelly. Anyone else get a Gone Girl / Amy Dune vibe when Cersei announces she's pregnant and then says, "Never betray me again"? Yeah. I feel she's definitely lying about being pregnant. So it's pregnant, yay or nay to the group.
I wouldn't put it past her that she's lying.
Exactly.
But then she'll completely lose Jamie at that point. Wouldn't you think?
Right. Like you said, you see it, that he's coming in there basically saying we need to surrender or we need to beg for our lives. And then as soon as she says I'm pregnant, it's a game changer. And the fact that, oh, I have something to fight for now.
Yeah.
I guess so.
But then again, like, and
but
I would,
but he knows he can't win.
Yeah. I mean, he is.
Or that could be the twist. They do end up winning.
No, they can't win. But, sorry, I forgot where I was going to go with it, but I mean, I would have totally subscribed to Cersei not being pregnant if it hadn't been for Qyburn in that little tidbit there before Jaime's walking in. Just me hearing him say, like, I can run more tests or I can get more results or something like that. And I was like, oh.
Could have been a setup like Littlefinger would do.
That's true.
And finally, I got in an argument with a coworker, and I like your professional opinion. Point. Gendry looks like Christian Bale. Counterpoint, no, he doesn't. As always, love the show. Keep up the great work. Thank you. So what do you guys think? Gendry looking like Christian Bale or not?
I can see it.
I can see it in the hair and like the forehead, but like he doesn't have the jawline.
Yeah, it's a different jawline for sure.
And the nose. Because Christian Bale has that really pointy, narrow nose.
He does. And he has that little mole like that's on the side of his nose.
He did yell at a crew member, though.
Did Gendry yell at a crew member?
Yeah, he did. You'll hear about it later on, but he did. That makes a Christian. I see it a little bit, though.
But Kelly, thank you for the email. Let's get into our phone calls. None of the phone calls are about this episode specifically. It's a lot about whether Jack is right or not, I think. So.
We don't have to play him then.
we know I'm right.
So let's jump into those calls. Here we go.
Hey, guys. It's Christy from formerly of Miami, but I just wanted to let you guys know that Jack is right. And I know this doesn't happen very often, so I need to stipulate. He's right about his Game of Thrones thought that the kids are exactly where they want to be, or he said Sansa. But I'm going to take that a little step further and say they're all where they're supposed to be. Arya wanted to be a fighter. She wanted to be strong. She didn't know the good and bad that came with that. She knows it now. Sansa wanted to be a queen. She, again, didn't know the good and bad. She was looking at it. They were a little looking at it from kids' eyes. And now she's a queen because Jon is not married, and she's effectively the queen of the North standing in for Jon. And even Bran, she was sneaking around, always sneaking and spying on people. And guess what? Now he gets to see it all, good, bad, ugly, and look how it's affected him. So I think all those kids are exactly where they wanted to be. I guess Rickon wanted to be a shish kebab, but not that. That's going too far. Sorry, guys. But I love this theory. I love this idea of this childhood innocence growing and changing into this human or this adult experience that is now bigger, bolder, and more problematic for them. So, God, I love this show so much. I can't even stand it. I'm so obsessed. All right, guys. Love you. Keep up the great work, and hopefully talk to you soon. See ya.
Hey, guys. This is Christine from Omaha, and I just finished up your most recent Game of Thrones podcast, and I called earlier saying that Jack was right, and he was right. But I finished it, and now I have to call and say that poor Nick is wrong, but he's wrong twice. But both are regarding Jaime. He has a real soft spot for Jaime. And I guess my point that I wanted to say about Jaime was that while we all love Jaime and we're rooting for him during this series, because he starts out as this pretty horrible person, very, very on par with Cersei and what he's willing to do, he, in his travels with Brienne and everything, he starts to show this softer side. And we're all hoping that he will, like, just do the right thing, right? He's gonna get Cersei under control. And then I think when we watched the last season, I pretty much thought by the end of the season, after her destruction in King's Landing, that he would come and see, because it wasn't just the entire septum that was destroyed. I'm sure there was a small part of the city around that as well that was completely destroyed. And I remember at the end of the last season thinking, that's it. Jamie's going to be done with her. There's no way he's going to be able to come back and forgive her for that. And I was really expecting to see that at the beginning of this year, because that's where I thought the road of Jamie was going to go, that they had endured so much and he had seen so much suffering and he now felt and had changed and all of these things. And then he didn't. He's okay with Cersei. And he's not just trying to talk her into it. I mean, they're in bed again together, and they're just right back, and he's letting her control things and she's in charge. And I just felt to myself that, you know, he had a chance for redemption and he blew it. He's done. He's done. He cannot be redeemed, I don't think, at this point. He doesn't want to be. So he made his bed. He's lying in it. And I'm not pulling for him anymore. He can die as far as I'm concerned, because, he's done. He's going to go along with the bad and not do anything to help people. So whatever. So there's that I thought he was wrong about. But number two, and the biggest thing that I think he's wrong about, is that Jaime is going to kill Cersei. And I've been saying for a long time, and I posted it in the group, and my theory is this, that Jaime will not, well, the prophecy says that Jaime, she will be killed by her younger brother. And she's always thought it was Tyrion, because she wants to hate him. She would never believe that it's Jaime. And we've all thought, the twist will be it's Jaime. And it will be Jaime, but it won't be Jaime. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that Arya is going, she has her list, and Arya is not going to be dissuaded from killing the people upon her list. She's going to show up in King's Landing to kill Cersei. She's going to have a run-in with Jaime. She is going to best Jaime. He's going to... I totally got cut off because I talked long. But okay, I'll wrap it up. So Arya's going to show up in King's Landing to fulfill her destiny of her list. She's going to try to go after Cersei. Jaime is going to somehow step in that way or stop her. Or maybe they'll meet somewhere else and they'll come to blows. And I think Arya's going to kill Jaime because she's obviously the better swordsman now. She's going to take his face. She's going to show up in King's Landing, and she's going to kill Cersei, but looking like Jaime. So thus fulfilling both the prophecy and her completing her list. And that is my theory. I've been saying it for a while, and I am so sticking to it, because I think it would be so just rewards for her to be killed by her lover brother. But really, Arya gets her revenge. Boom. It's done. That's what's happening. Thanks, guys. And as always, keep up the great work. Love all the podcasts. Love you guys. And talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Thank you for the calls. So Nick and myself, we are wrong. Jack, you are right.
You had me at Jack is right. So
yeah, I tuned out after that.
Well, it's pretty obvious that, you know, when you look at the facts, it's pretty obvious that.
She didn't say anything about the stupid jealousy thing, though. She was just more that they all ended up where they were supposed to be.
Yeah. But the jealousy part, like I said in the Facebook group today, a better scene, if she was worried, or like you guys were wrong about, she would have stayed on the balcony looking down at Arya. There's no there's no reason for only reason she's jealous because she walked away. So yeah, go on, get to the part where Nick is wrong.
No, but I think I said that after the first episode that I thought that Arya could kill Cersei with Jaime's face.
You sure it wasn't me? Because I'm usually right.
I mean, I like that theory too, because it does. It fulfills both prophecies. I don't know. I don't know. For some reason, I just think that it's just. I like the idea of Jaime.
Well, actually. if Arya does do that, does she get killed by the mountain?
I don't know. That's actually a good. I don't know. I don't think. Oh God, I'd cry if Arya died. But I'm curious to see how the mountain does die again.
The game bowl.
That's what I would like to see. Is yeah, the hound.
Even technically, kind of the bowl would be, you know, the whole trial by combat or whatever. But still. It can happen. It can happen, people. Even though if Clegane, maybe Clegane turns into a white, and then it's two undead Clegane brothers fighting against each other to the death again.
Oh, the hound. I'll have your zombie versus my zombie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is it. This is how it's going to happen.
You know, it's sad. I was about ready to say the same thing.
Oh, sorry, I beat you to it. So it's mine.
So I'm saying you could be right. That's the
hashtag J is right.
Well, hashtag J is right only because Jack was
the hound is a white. All right. So thank you for the calls, Nick. Any nitpick Nicks? I mean, we didn't or nitpick Nicks or ticked off Nicks. Anything you want to kind of wrap up with that, or are you good? You felt like you laid it
out. I think we laid it all out because my only nitpick was the. The very first thing was just Jaime swimming a couple miles, you know, in the armor.
That seemed to be a big complaint by a lot of people.
Well, I mean, it was so anticlimactic in the fact that you end the episode on a cliffhanger, which was kind of a waste of a cliffhanger anyway. But it's like you see him sinking, and then all of a sudden you see the flames a good, you know, far in the distance, and all of a sudden, and you're like, did he really just swim that whole way underwater? Because like, what?
Training for the Olympics.
But again, I kind of see that, but I also see where it's like, okay, you knew he was going to live, so do we really have to make this a thing? So, anyway.
And they knew he was going to, like, I agree with Nick, though. Why have that as a cliffhanger when you know he's going
to
live?
I don't think
live?
It was a cliffhanger. To me, I didn't see it as a cliffhanger. I wasn't like, oh my God, is Jaime going to make it? I never thought that at all. Not
why,
at the moment.
Well, they shouldn't have shown him submerging so fast. Maybe that was a mistake.
Yeah. Well, If it was a cliffhanger, you just show the flames coming, but you don't show what happened to Jaime. That would be a cliffhanger. But showing him going in the water is like, that's not a cliffhanger. You're like, okay, he lived. He's just what they should have done.
But you see him sinking like a rock.
Yes, but what they should have done is played Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel as he's sinking down the water.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
That is what they would need to do, but.
Anyway. Okay, maybe next time.
All right, well, that will wrap it up for this week's show. Give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Call anytime.
Once again, it's 385-309-0311. Call anytime with the questions.
Call anytime. Maybe we don't get calls because no one can really actually hear the number.
Again, it's 385-309-0311. Give us an email to Game of Thrones Podcast at
Gmail.
.com slash Game of Thrones Podcast at gmail.com. Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JNJackGroup where we have TV show discussions about Game of Thrones, our podcast, and much, much more. Become a patron. Click on the Become a Patron link on JNJack.com. Also, if you like to support this show, if you buy stuff on Amazon.com, you could use the link JNJack.com/Amazon. It'll be the same Amazon you know and love, but anything you purchase on there, a small percentage of those sales will also go to the Jay and Jack production fold. Our shows, all of our shows are listener supported. Without your support and funding that you put into the show, these shows would not be possible. But say you can't contribute money, an awesome way to help us is to write a review on iTunes as well as tell your friends and family about us. That helps and goes a long way as well.
I was going to say, though, on Amazon, there is a book that you can buy now that's pretty cool. It's Why Jack is Always Right and explains, breaks down how I'm always right.
Oh, man. Money well spent. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
See you.
Bye.